The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Abraham Donko. In the headlines, EC says no voter will be disenfranchised in 2016 general election. NCCE calls for inter-party dialogue following clashes between NDC and NPP in Wali Wali in the northern region. Munti FM panelists to be sentenced on 27th of this month. Ghana honored at AU summit for championing advancement of women, and teenage Afghan refugee armed with axe and knife injures 4 people on train in German city of Wolfsburg. The Electoral Commission has refuted reports that lack of adequate publicity is to blame for the low turnout in the voters' exhibition exercise. Speaking on Behind the News, the head of communications at the EC, Eric Jakpasu, said it is the usual attitude of Ghanaians to show lack of interest in events of this kind, adding that the EC is intensifying public publicity through the media. He, however, called on other stakeholders like the political parties and the media to play their roles to whip up interest in the exhibition exercise.
Typically, you see, it has always been the case when it comes to this very critical stage of the exercise, the exhibition. In fact, this even happens to be the most critical stage in the compilation of a credible register. So one would have thought that when it comes to this stage, people will always go out to go and check whether their names are there, when their names are not there, to apply for the inclusion. But it has always been a very slow process, and turnout has always been low. Much as we are trying to intensify publicity, much as stakeholders are involved. So let's watch and see. Let's just watch and see what happens as the day goes by.
Some have reported that they didn't even know there was going to be such an exercise. So how do you whip up interest then?
Definitely, complaints of this nature are very familiar. They are not new. We are whipping up interest. We are intensifying publicity. As we speak now, over 130 FM stations in this country are playing our jingles. The TV promos and the docudramas are on a number of TV stations. Our officials on the ground at the district level are embarking on intensive publicity education. And as we interact and we engage the media all over, I think we are reaching out to people. We are also calling on stakeholders, especially the political part, the media, to assist, to as it were, play their part. You know, when it comes to registration, the political parties are very active. They go around, they make sure their people go to the registration centers to go and register massively. So it beats the mind when it comes to exhibition, which is the final stage in certifying a register for a credible election. But we have found wanting so much. But we are doing our part. We are just imploring and calling on the stakeholders to join and play their part so that we can all have a very successful exhibition exercise.
Well, and I earlier spoke to DCOP Kenny Eboah, Northern Regional Police Command, and he was saying that the police were not aware of such an exercise. They have not been informed.
That would be very, very strange, because the police, the political parties, the media are part of this exercise. And what I know is that before the commencement of exercises of this nature, because of the security implications, we always serve the police station days ahead, the polling stations, the flashpoints. We engage them. In fact, we engage them and we deprive them. So it will be news to me. Maybe we may have to follow it up and find out what is happening.
Head of Communications of the EC, Eric Jakpasu. More than 7,000 registered voters in the Ashanti region have had their names deleted from the voters' register for using the NHIS card. The EC has subsequently reserved 10 days out of the 3-week period for the ongoing exhibition to re-register them. Itrimam Punia constituency had the highest number of such cases, with about 1,700, while other constituencies had less than 10 cases. The Deputy Ashanti Regional Director of the EC, Lawrence Sapong, said the failure of the device to recognize a voter would not disenfranchise the fellow, provided all other relevant details are captured.
He goes to check, he's a genuine registered voter, and then the verification device does not work in his favor at this time. It gives us the time and space to correct whatever problem is there, so that come election day, that problem will have been rectified. So even if you are not verified at this time, you are going to be taking through some verification as far as the problem is concerned, and that will enable us, allow you to vote during the election. In some cases, you may have to put such people as what we call states only. That will mean that on the election day, they will not go through the same process, but that will still be biometric versus all the states.
A deputy Ashanti regional director of the EC, Lawrence Sapong. Northern regional director of the NCCE, Alhaji Razak Sani, says it will organize an inter-party dialogue on the need for peaceful and balanced re-electioneering. His comments comes on the heels of clashes between the NPP and NDC at Wali Wali over the weekend. Speaking to Agatha Samon behind the news, Alhaji Sani encouraged Ghanaians to actively participate in the ongoing voter exhibition and re-registration of NHIS card holders to ensure a clean register for this year's polls.
We are putting in place strategies to ensure that at least we don't take things for granted. From the perspective of the NCC, we have gotten support through an NGO called NORSAC. All institutions, including the NCC, are training what we call election vigilante groups, election peace groups in the community. Unfortunately, Wale Wale, that is West Mampusi, is one of the target areas that we are into. We have trained them on how to work for peace, especially in those polling stations that the Electoral Commission has identified as a potential flagon. Now, in addition to that, we also have what we call the inter-party dialogue committees. Now, some of these issues that have happened, we hope that in the next few days, tomorrow I'll be going to Wale Wale, in the next few days, we shall organize what we call the inter-party dialogue committee meetings that comprises of all the political parties. So the issues that require our attention and the issues that may have contributed to the skirmishes will be addressed so that in future, going forward, we will not have issues repeating. Now, apart from that, we're also in to education. We have what we call a focus group discussion. We are meeting with political party youth activists, women's group, youth groups, and the like. You know, just to try to let them know that yes, election is good, it's part of the goal of our democracy, but we should not allow it to be nothing.
That was the Northern Regional Director of the NCCE, Alhaji Razak Sani. As the country prepares for the November polls, child rights activists are advising the youth not to allow themselves to be used by politicians as agents of violence. Ghanaians have therefore been charged to make child security their topmost priority. Speaking at the launch of the 20th anniversary of the Ghana NGO Coalition on Rights of the Child, the president, Josephine Kunedu-Kodia, called on the media to educate the public on the need to include children in developmental projects. She said that government and other stakeholders should adopt strategic opportunities to fight challenges of children. Elena Obeng Apia has the rest of the story.
The president of the coalition, Mrs. Josephine Kunedu-Kodia, said it is time government recognize the rights of children and consider them in all legislative and policy decisions. She added that the coalition will continue to partner with other child rights organizations to continue with their research to give the leverage needed to continue its lobbying and advocacy on behalf of vulnerable children and the less privileged in the society.
In less than 5 months, Ghanaians go to the polls to elect leaders for the next 4 years. In the process, whether before, during or after the elections, we need our children alive and safe. We'd like to take this single opportunity to appeal to parents and guardians, leaders, teachers, and all stakeholders to make the safety and protection of children in this election a priority. No child should be used in any way to advance the selfish interests or cause of any politician. Rather, commitment to the advancement and welfare, notably education, health, and proper development, should be upheld. Of course, we also need their parents alive to enforce, monitor, and also endure the successes of the period.
The acting national coordinator for the coalition, Berima Rosia Mangwa, outlined some of the achievements, progresses, and challenges of the coalition. He, however, called for a collaborative effort from the entire public to reach out to the unreached. The GNCRC was established in 1996 with a mandate of providing experts committee on child rights with detailed report on the implementation of the Convention on the Rights of the Child. The theme for the launch, Sustainable Development Goals for Children in Ghana and Africa as a Continent, Accelerating Protection, Empowerment, and Equal Opportunity.
A report by Elena Obeng Apia. Barely 4 months to the polls, the NDC parliamentary aspirant for Ibuakwa North in the Eastern Region, Osei Jima, has opted out of the race. Confirming this on Behind the News, the Eastern Regional Secretary of the NDC, Oliver McEvor, said Mr. Jima, in a resignation letter to the party, cited personal reasons for his decision. He said fresh nominations will be opened this week to enable others to contest. Mr. Kevo was convinced the NDC couldn't see the MPP in the area due to the apathy displayed by the electorate towards them in their primaries early this year.
I can confirm to you that early in the morning, Mr. Anthony Osejima, the parliamentary candidate for the Bwakwan North constituency, submitted his resignation letter to the regional chairman, citing personal reasons for his resignation. And immediately, the regional chairman convened an emergency regional executive committee for which we discussed and accepted his resignation. We also forwarded the information to the national secretariat to advise, and we have decided to open fresh nomination from Wednesday to Friday. We close nomination and then prepare for the round of the primary in Bwakwan.
That's it. We understand. If an NPP seat, do you think the next candidate can rest power for the NDC, looking at the short time that you have?
We are prepared ourselves, irrespective of which candidate, even though the candidate brings onto the board his own sense and unique traits that will play on the agenda. But largely, the party is prepared. The constituency relatives are so much united on the ground. The various stakeholders, the party, the constituency are also working so much on the ground. Already, there is apathy in the NDC. Remember, they just ended by election to refuse party. The registered just about 28% turnout. An indication that even among the NPP, most of them elected the NPP, and that is a plus for us. So the dynamics on the ground is largely the end, and we hope that whoever steps into the shoes will also bring on board his own sense for us to capture the seat from there.
Well, but Oliver, briefly, I'm sure you've heard of reports saying that Osejima stepping down, he might have been influenced with money to step down.
That cannot be true, because it's not like he's stepping down for one person or the other.
Oliver McEvo is the Eastern Regional Secretary of the NDC. Owners of Munti FM and three others summoned before the Supreme Court have been found guilty of contempt. They have accordingly been convicted, but their sentencing has been deferred to the 27th of this month. Their lawyers, pleading for mitigation, said the convicts are first-time offenders who have been remorseful for their conduct. One of the lawyers, Nanatu Datsi, consistently pleaded with the court to be lenient with them since they have learnt their lessons, and also cautioned other media personnel to be wary of their comments. All the convicts have been granted self-recognizance bail. The owners of the station pleaded liable with explanation, while the other three, a host and two panelists, also pleaded liable with regret. Audio recordings of the threats made against justices of the Supreme Court were played in court, despite pleas from their lawyers. The presiding judge, Justice Sophia Ekufu, warned that the bench is dealing with last Tuesday's agitations from sympathizers of the contenders and advised them to desist from such. Before the case was heard yesterday, another judge, Justice Bafuboni, recused himself from the panel because of his relationship with a member of the board of directors of Munti FM. Counsel for the directors explained that their clients were out of the jurisdiction at the time the panelists made those comments, adding that when the attention was drawn to the incident, they quickly apologized and also punished the host. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. EC says no voter will be disenfranchised in 2016 general election. NCCE calls for inter-party dialogue following clashes between NDC and NPP in Wali Wali in the Northern Region. Munti FM panelists will be sentenced on 27th of this month. Ghana honored at the AU Summit for championing advancement of women. And teenage Afghan refugee armed with axe and knife injures 4 people on train in German city of Wolfsburg. Deputy Minister of Communications Felix Kwachifusu says with the ever-increasing cases of same-box fraud, identity theft and other ICT challenges, there is a need to take a crucial look at cyber security. In this regard, government has set up the Computer Emergency Response Team to help manage the threat. Government has also developed a cyber security policy with realistic and implementable programs to address the challenges. The Deputy Minister said this at the opening of a two-day symposium to mark the 20th anniversary of the National Communications Authority in Accra. Here's a report by Antoinette Abar.
Whereas in the past, ICT penetration in the country was very minimal, today it is a fact that even in remote areas of the country, citizens have access to mobile phones and computers which they use to connect to the rest of the world. It is in this regard that regulators need to be ahead of all other stakeholders to appropriately guide the industry. The symposium will therefore provide the opportunity to hear from seasoned practitioners in the communications industry from Peru, the United Kingdom, Nigeria and Australia. The Deputy Minister of Communications, Felix Kwachi Fosi, said the Ghanaian ICT industry has made significant strides with more than 37 million voice subscribers. He said government has made numerous investments to increase access. An example is the completion of the Eastern Corridor fiber optic network, among others.
The ministry has constructed over 21 enhanced community information centers across the 10 regions of Ghana to close the digital divide. The telecom industry is evolving at a very fast pace, and it has become a huge challenge for the industry players to respond to increasing demands of their consumers. I noticed that some of the topics to be addressed in the course of this symposium include measures to improve rural communications, the expected impact of future telecommunication technologies on the industries in Africa, and digital financial services. It will be refreshing to learn about policies and regulations adopted elsewhere in other jurisdictions, which may be beneficial and which we could draw on in charting our own path in this regard.
The Director General of the NCA, William Tevier, said, though the past 20 years of the NCA has been faced with some challenges, the authority has been able to surmount the challenges and now working fervently to protect the consumer. Key among the solution is the decentralization of its operations to monitor and regulate the industry.
No one can deny the fact that ICT has incredible potential to improve development outcomes in both the developing and developed world. All three pillars of sustainable development need ICT as a propeller to make development in those various sectors achievable. We believe that this forum is only the beginning of those steps to be taken by other communication regulatory bodies and the continent.
The two-day symposium will enable the practitioners to share ideas, consolidate experiences and translate the experiences into actions that will benefit the global ICT industry.
Antoinette Abbas report. In the Upper West region, 500 applicants made up of 100 females are expected to go through the police enlistment process at the Jubilee Park in Wa. The exercise, which is being carried out simultaneously across the country, involves documentation, body selection and aptitude test. Speaking to our correspondent William Osubwating, the regional team leader of the exercise, ACP Abibatrimi Sisapon, advised the applicants to maintain discipline in the exercise. ACP Trimisisapon debunked the notion that recruitment into the Ghana Police Service is on political grounds.
It's been smooth so far, and we expect that at the end of the day we get the products that the service is looking for. Like, it's been so nice, the applicants reported and everything is going on smoothly according to plan. It's a whole week exercise. This is the second phase. The first phase was the online registration, and we are doing documentation, body selection, height, then we write the aptitude test at the end of the day. After that we go to the next level. We are looking at over 500 in the Upper West region. That is going on simultaneously throughout the country, in the regional capitals and those towns, regions with training institutions is happening at the training schools. We have over 100 female and the rest of them male. The advice is that we have a criteria. So what I would say is that they shouldn't do those things like piercing, like tattoos, that will affect them in future. But they should be disciplined. And I'll thank them for accepting to be part of the service. I'll encourage them to continue to go through the process the way they are going through, so that at the end of the day, we get a product that the service deserves.
That was ACP Abi Batrumesi Sapong. The First Lady, Mrs. Lordina Mahama, says people should eschew the reliance on white-collar jobs over skilled acquired ones. She said going into vocational training has always been seen by many as a venture for school dropouts, adding that it is high time parents debunked that notion and encouraged their wards to take up vocational training. Mrs. Mahama said this yesterday in the Volta region when she presented sewing machines and their dressing equipment to artisans, including hairdressers, dressmakers, and barbers at Hodome. The donation is another area the Lordina Foundation has been focusing on for some time now, aside from medical supplies she presents to hospitals. Yvonne Akilego has filed this report.
The Lordina Foundation's new focus of assisting artisans across the country was partly triggered by the show of enthusiasm by artisans and their struggle to enhance their work. Mrs. Mahama employed parents and society to support government's transformational agenda by encouraging their wards to be interested in vocational and technical training and go to appropriate institutions. Items donated include 50 boxes of hand sewing machines, 30 boxes of industrial sewing machines, 5 boxes of foot massages, 30 boxes of sterilizers and other hair and sewing equipment. The donation was made possible with support from the Chinese Embassy, the Turkish First Lady, among other sponsors. The Queen Mother of Hodome, Mama Atrato, expressed appreciation to the First Lady for her support. She said the town has been able to establish a pregnancy school for needy mothers where they are trained in other vocations to enable them to be self-employed. She appealed for support for the school. The First Lady later visited the home market where she interacted with the market women to know their needs and challenges.
Yvonne Akilego filed that report. The Ministry of Gender has called for robust legislation and legal framework to facilitate the smooth operation of the field-assisted reproductive technologies in Ghana. The sector minister, Nana Oyelifa, said this new field of health care has the potential to end the suffering of millions of couples in Ghana suffering from infertility. She said the field also presents new ethical, health, economic, legal and social issues that need to be addressed. Speaking at the 5th National Gender Dialogue in Accra, Mrs. Oyelifa said providing quality reproductive health service to women, men and adolescents is an ongoing priority of government. Mary Atuli was there and reports.
The 5th dialogue would focus on assisted reproductive technologies arts in Ghana. In 1995, the first baby was born through in vitro fertilization IVF in Ghana. Since then, developments have been made in the field of arts throughout the country, including the establishment of numerous private clinics offering different assisted technological reproductive services. The Minister of Gender, Children and Social Protection, Oyelita, said reproductive health is not only a health and rights issue, but also it's necessary for overall development growth, including improvement of livelihoods and promoting economic growth. She said some critical aspects of the government strategy to ensure women and men have access to quality health care include antenatal care, safe delivery and postnatal care, such as breastfeeding, access to family planning, as well as preventing and management of unsafe and post-abortion care.
We have a situation in Ghana where now, if a woman is infertile, cannot have a child, her eggs may be harvested, sperm harvested, and then there's cross-fertilization. And then it is placed in another woman's womb. The surrogate woman is able to have a child for that. This has been going on since 1995. There is no regulation. This is even a new discipline that is not even legally recognized in our allied health law. We have the Medical and Dental Council, we have the Allied Health Council, we have Ministry of Health and Government. To what extent are we regulating these fertility clinics and surrogate parents? To what extent are we addressing infertility? To what extent has this issue been mainstreamed into our health sector agenda or health sector planning? So within the context of the gender dialogue that we have started with support from African Development Bank, the Ministry of Gender, Children and Social Protection, the Ministry of Health, is creating this national platform so that the doctors involved, the nurses, the embryologists, civil society, women groups, traditional leaders, we come together to discuss this issue. What are the legal implications? What if an HIV couple want to have a child? What should they do? How much does it cost? There are quack doctors and quack facility clinics that may also be operating. So what law do they operate under?
The medical director of Provita Hospital, Dr. Joseph Nenu, who spoke on the challenges associated with assisted reproductive technologies, said because the industry is not well regulated, many problems are now associated with it. He entreated Ghanaians and all religious bodies to embrace this new technology of conception and put smiles on the faces of couples faced with infertility issues.
Mary Atule. The first two Municipal Assembly Social Protection Committees have been inaugurated in Accra. This is to ensure the effective and efficient implementation of social protection policies. The Minister for Gender, Children and Social Protection, Aloye Lifa, charged the committees to ensure that the management and implementation of social protection is coordinated at the district and community levels. Rosalind Ganyaglo with the details.
The Ashaiman and Lejokuku Krowa committees will establish linkages between social protection interventions and benefits in the various communities. The gender minister, Nanoye Lisa, emphasized the social protection agenda is aimed at reducing poverty and vulnerabilities. This, she said, is in line with international commitments to position Ghana to achieve the SDGs, especially Goal 1.
This is the first among 10 that will be inaugurated. These district and community social protection committees are being established to facilitate targeting, identification, and selection of beneficiaries to benefit from the National Health Insurance Scheme under the AHME project. This, we believe, will enhance access to quality health care. I'm sure that with the inauguration of our Social Protection Committee, it will facilitate this work and ensure that our social protection agenda reaches the right households. We are targeting the vulnerable and the extremely poor households. And your role as social protection committees in this regard is very crucial.
The Greater Accra Regional Minister, Nilaya Futiago, said the training is essential in executing the program, which will reduce poverty and enhance healthcare services.
Social protection can play a pivotal role in preventing and reducing poverty and promoting social and economic development. This, I believe, was the cabinet decision and approval for the Ministry of Gender, Children and Social Protection to establish and strengthen the structure of the national and sub-national levels to ensure effective and efficient coordination, management, and implementation of the social protection programs in Ghana. I wish to therefore pledge our support at the Regional Community Council to the successful implementation of the project, and I wish to also entreat the members of the committee to work assiduously to ensure the goals of the project are achieved.
The head of local government service, Dr. Calistus Mahama, called for support for the committee and the provision of the necessary resources to enable them to discharge their duties.
Rosalind Ganaglu reporting. Ghana has been recognized as one of the continent's top performers in the advancement of the economic and social rights of women. Minister of Foreign Affairs and Regional Integration, Hanna Tete, received the African Gender Award for Ghana at the Kigali Summit of the AU. Sponsored by the UN Economic Commission for Africa and the African Development Bank, the African Gender Scorecard measures the performance of gender equality and women's empowerment. Ghana was scored with other continents on social, economic, political, and civil rights. Ghana under President John Mahama has been working to uplift the economic rights of women, with small loans for market women and traders, increase in LEAP benefits, and continues to ensure equitable representation of women in government. Cabinet recently approved the Affirmative Action Bill, which will serve as an additional intervention to advance the frontiers of gender equality and female empowerment when approved by Parliament. Former Ghana's permanent representative to the UN, Ken Tanda, says many African countries have misplaced priorities, which have led to their dependence on advanced countries for aid. According to him, most countries on the continent do not focus on attaining the Sustainable Development Goals, but rather turn their attention to issues that impoverish them. Speaking at the fifth session of the Life Link Tertiary Model of the UN in Accra, Mr. Kanda said the world body does not draw up developmental plans for member states, but rather assists them to achieve their goals. Here's a report by Nathaniel Nate.
More than 80 UN member states deliberated on the theme, the youth, a tool for the attainment of SDGs in the 21st century. These delegates, most of which are Ghanaians, were assigned to monitor and report on the involvement of the youth in the movement to achieve the SDGs. In his remarks, Ambassador Ken Kanda said, putting the youth at the center of decision-making and implementation is the surest way of attaining the SDGs. He urged the youth to put social media to innovative use in order to make their voice heard.
If the decision makers of Ghana don't include the youth in finding ways to attain these goals, you can't do anything, would you? You would be totally out of sorts. But if they deliberately include you in the processes, in the decision making, then you would be useful tools. UN cannot divide plans and strategies for any country's development. The United Nations does not have a pot of money somewhere where Ghana can just go and say, hey, I need 10,000 from you to do water for me. No, Ghana has to use its own budget to do what is right.
The General Secretary of the Life Link Tertiary Model, Minapuku Ajiman, explains the choice of delegates.
Most of them are Ghanaians, they are Ghanaians, others are from Nigeria, and so, but because we are assimilating the UN, we assign to them member states of the UN. So if you're a Ghanaian, when you come to the conference, you are not acting as a Ghanaian anymore, you are acting as the citizen of the country you've been assigned to. The United Nations conference are conferences that are organized to simulate what the UN does. So we take any of the committees of the General Assembly and we simulate what they do.
All the delegates Radio Ghana spoke to advocated immediate reforms to include the youth in the developmental planning of the countries they are representing.
Nathaniel Nate reporting. In foreign news, German police say a teenage Afghan refugee armed with an axe and knife injured four people in a train in southern Wolfsburg before being shot dead by police. Three people were seriously hurt and one suffered minor injuries in the attack. Initial reports said up to 20 people had been injured, but it was later revealed that at least 14 had been treated for shock. Civilians in Aleppo, a rebel-held area in Syria, have expressed fears of a lengthy government siege as food supplies dwindle following the seizure of the only road into the city's east by government troops. The government advance, which has been backed by a Russian air offensive, is seen as a major setback for opposition forces in Syria's second city. And that ends the news with Abraham Donko in Accra.